All right.
Whoa.
That was loud. I apologize.
Sorry, Beth.
If you're in the back, you may want to come to the front to be able to see the screens. The group in the back, if you guys may want to come up here to the front a little bit closer to see the screens. All right, we have a special treat this morning. A presentation from Dr. Frank Luntz, one of America's preeminent political pollsters, and I do mean preeminent. He's done work for 50 out of the Fortune 500 companies. He is, of course, as you guys know, on Fox News quite a lot. He's the only pollster to do presidential debates in the 2012 or 2016 presidential cycle. His work is well followed. His books are bestsellers. I will say that his book, Words That Work, is one of the best books I've ever read as a young political person. And to explain and understand the power of language and the power of words to make your point. So if you guys are looking for something to read in your spare time this week, let me recommend Words That Work by Frank Luntz. His bio is extensive. He is a graduate of UPenn. His PhD from Oxford at the age of 25. Again, one of America's most preeminent political pollsters. That is Dr. Frank Luntz.
Thank you very much. And I have to, I owe the people, you all, of all the state delegations, no one has been kinder to us, has gone out of their way to help us do the things that we do. If you guys like the Fox focus groups, then in some ways they're happening because of you, Mr. Chairman, and your staff. You guys have made it all possible, so I'm grateful. So thank you very much. But I have to tell you that I was warned that I'm not allowed to tell jokes because Hillary Clinton, of all the places Hillary Clinton could choose to live, she chose Chappaqua, New York. Did you know Chappaqua's Indian for separate bedrooms? But I was told I can't say that here, so I won't. I was told that Bernie Sanders knocked on 50 doors in a single day trying to find the last undecided voters. Hillary Clinton knocked on the same 50 doors. She was just trying to find Bill. But they said, I can't do that one either. So what I want to do is I want to walk you through the election because I think what's happening is important. I've got about 25 minutes with you, and I am going to take questions at the end, so think of what you want to know. And I think this is pretty significant, what happens to someone when they are running for office. It does have an impact. Bernie Sanders is so old. Bernie Sanders is so old it takes him an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. Sanders is so old. His favorite painting is The Last Supper. Look carefully, he's the second waiter from the left. He's so old, the only time he doesn't have to pee is when he's peeing. In fact, he's so old, this is my favorite campaign slogan for Sanders. I love that. It's interesting because I was asked, what do I want out of politics? I've been doing this now for a long time. I actually started this in 1992, so it's been a quarter of a century for me. My goal, and I admit this, and it's going to bother some of you, but my goal was to be the Secretary of Agriculture in a Sanders administration. Because I wanted to be the one to plant those magic trees where all that free stuff grows from. So I want you to see the visual. I want you to see something that you will not get out of your mind. 10 years from now, I will see you, and you will still remember this photo. You guys can't hear me in the back? Is that it? Is this okay, or still is there a problem? Can you turn it up? Any of you know me know I never stand behind a... I am, like, breaking every rule here. And now the problem is, you've got my computer back there, and I can't even see what my slides are.
There you go.
Hi, my name... Geez, is everything messed up here? My name is Oprah Winfrey. It's nice to meet you. There is an election. This is one of the toughest elections. And let's be honest. She's leading now. If anyone comes here and tells you that this is going to be easy, They're trying to make you feel good, but they're not being helpful.
That's right.
And just because your state is a solid Republican state, thank God for that, the state that's just north of you matters. And if we can't win North Carolina, we have a problem. And I'm here today to try to encourage you over the next 112 days to get in your car and drive across the border and take the time, because you're fine. You have a great state, the kindest people in America, but the people that are just a little bit above you, they need to learn from you. And you've got to be willing to do it. If you're not willing to get into your cars and drive north, then I got to tell you, this country's going to have a real, real challenge. Got a couple more here. She's not him. I'm convinced that she actually wanted, that he's going to probably debate prep Trump for all that he has been through. He has this ability. This is my first request for you all. Stop speaking from the podium, and we should not be using teleprompters. Bill Clinton was so good in 2012 for Barack Obama, better than anybody else, because he would have his arms draped over. I know he went 20 minutes long, but he did an indictment. His attack on Mitt Romney worked because he wasn't looking here and here and here and here. He was with everybody. We have to make eye contact. We cannot stand behind that thing, because we got to be asking questions. And we need to be learning from the people that we wish to represent. And there isn't enough of that. Look, Hillary Clinton is no Bill Clinton. He, when he wants to, he reads a teleprompter brilliantly. She, Stevie Wonder reads a teleprompter. But I want this to be educational. So the first thing is, does the frog liver die?
It does.
Who thinks the frog dies? Raise your hands. Who thinks the frog lives? Raise your hands. If you think the frog lives, stand up. If you think the frog lives, stand up. Okay, and stay standing. You're correct. Now stay standing. Oh, this guy waits to find out which is the correct answer. Down. What are you, Ted Kennedy? You cheese? By the way, I need to tell you this, because I often say things I should not say. And stay standing for 1 second. But I do need to acknowledge this. On MSNBC, the only news network with more letters in its name, I said that on national television, and they fired me the next day, but it was worth it. So I was on a game show called The Trump Card. This really happened. It was on Channel 9 in New York. It was on for 2 years. I was one of the contestants. I was in the final six, and I'm going through the process. I'm not doing that great because I'm nervous. And whether you think it or not, I am nervous right now speaking to you. I get nervous this way. I calm down as I start to go through it. Anyway, I do okay. And it's the equivalent of the final Jeopardy round. And the question was, name the largest mammal that swims. What's the answer? He says a hippopotamus. What's the answer? She says whale. What's the answer? She's not sure. One more. Whale. Okay. That's really, really rude over here. Hey, and by the way, as the special guest, I do the jokes. So the question is, what is the largest mammal that swims? I said Ted Kennedy. My father was so proud of me. The producer threw me out, but I still felt great. So it's very possible that over the next 20 minutes I'll say something horrible. Why does the frog live? She said because she jumps. Doesn't work. Down. Why does the frog live? If you get it wrong, you gotta sit down. If you get it wrong, why does the frog live? He says that an alligator has a tendency to take the little ones in their mouth and move around. You know way too much about alligators. Down, that's not correct. What do you think it is, ma'am?
Well, I think it lives because that's a little picture of the
frog. She says it's not a real picture. I would not lie to you. Down. Why does the alligator live? The alligator's blind? Nope. Alligator does not know it's there, but the alligator is not blind. Why does the alligator live?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Okay, I would expect that from North Carolina, not from South Carolina. Why does the alligator live? Sorry, why does the frog live? She says the frog's poisonous to the alligator. Incorrect. Down. Why does the alligator live? Why does the frog live? Well, first off, the creative order, no, this is not a religious test. Down. Gentleman with a bow tie, why does it? By the way, Republicans have to stop wearing bow ties, but go ahead.
No, keep it up.
Say it again?
You're wrong on that bow tie. The alligator got alive.
He got it correct. The alligator's not alive. It's a real alligator. It's not a statue. Good for you. The rest of you guys can go down. He got it correct. You want to communicate? Now, I'm not changing on bow ties. I went through this with Patrick McHenry. He said the same thing. We've actually done testing on this. People do not trust people with bow ties. People don't trust people with beards. People don't trust people with mustaches. There's certain things. And by the way, the fact that I'm wearing even this tie, in fact, I need to do something.
I got here, this woman comes up to me and says, you don't look nearly as fat in person as you do on television.
Uh-oh. Stop! Stop! No!
I am a Carolina Panther fan. And for those of you who know him, Jerry Richardson just celebrated last night his 80th birthday. So if you know him, you should send him a note. And he cares, and he really does care about the team. So, I want you to focus not on what you say, I want you to focus on what people hear. Don't focus on the presentation, focus on the audience. And I got a few other examples. Our visuals are so boring. Our visuals don't connect. They show people in suits standing in front of American flags. That doesn't move anyone. This is the most powerful visual we've ever tested for American pride and patriotism. Where is she made?
France.
France. And we think of her as American, right? By the way, she has one arm up holding the torch. When I think of the French, I think something more like this.
And a white flag.
So I told that joke in Hong Kong because I'm an idiot. I did this last year. And we got a couple French guys in the audience. And they have no sense of humor. And they get really mad at me. So I know I need to apologize. So I come off the stage because normally I've got a clip on mine. And I come towards them. And they're about where the two of you are right there. And I'm getting really close. And I'm going to thank them for General Lafayette. I'm going to thank them for the help in the Revolutionary War. Here's the problem. I get really close to them. And all I can hear and think is Peter Sellers and the Pink Panther. So I started to laugh. They get up and they walk right out the center aisle. And I said the only thing that came to my mind at that moment, you see the French? They're always in retreat. The Germans thought that was the funniest thing ever. So look at this picture. It is a daybreak. It is a new dawn. Yeah, and it is a new beginning. Like it is compelling. And that's what we have to be in our communication. This is the most important chart that I will show you. Because in the end, it's not about ideology. And it's not about politics. It's about day-to-day life. It's about what happens from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you go to sleep at night. And I'll illustrate that in 1 second. But I want you to individualize, personalize, and humanize your communication. These are the 7 things that people want more of that they don't have enough of. Oh, by the way, I know that I got reporters in here, so I just want to say to the reporters, I actually have a Run Hillary Run bumper sticker on my car. I just put it on my front bumper. So the question is, so this is why I'm not supposed to tell jokes like this. Like, if Hillary Clinton's elected president, she will not be our first female president. Jimmy Carter was our first female president. It is acceptable to communicate based on how old they are, based on what gender they are. The number one priority for men from that list is money. The number one priority for women is time. The top two priorities for millennials, and I don't see that many of them here, better work-life balance and better lifestyle. The priorities for seniors, less hassles and no worries. It is not only acceptable, it is mandatory that we connect our language to the way they live their lives and that we focus on what matters to them as much as what matters to us. You turn all of your communication into these seven day-to-day priorities and you're connecting. And I said to you, I would show you how to do it personally. And I'm going to do it with taxes. And when I'm a sinner, I can get through this in one breath. When you wake up in the morning and drink your first cup of coffee, you're paying a sales tax. When you go out to your garage, you pay an automobile tax. As you drive to work, you pay a gas tax. At work, you pay an income tax. You turn on the lights, you pay an electricity tax. You flush the toilet, you pay a water tax. You flew here from South Carolina, you paid an airport tax. Stay overnight in the hotel, you pay a hotel occupancy tax. Use your cell phone to call home, you pay a cell phone tax. Get home, you pay a property tax. Turn on your TV, you pay a cable tax. Even when you die, you pay a death tax. Hard-working South Carolina voters, they are being taxed to death. They're taxed from the moment they wake up in the morning to the moment they go to sleep at night, and the Republican Party's going to give them a break. You go through that litany, and it humanizes. And it shows them just how much they pay. Let me show you some more, and I am going to take questions. So this really did happen. This is another set of words. And by the way, I'll give you the answer. It's peace of mind. More than anything else, people are looking for peace of mind, both in national security, personal security, economic security. So this chart, I put it up, and I'm speaking at the Clinton Global Initiative. And Bill Clinton's there, and he's standing about as far away as the gentleman with the polo shirt, raise your hand, about as far away from me to him.
Hey, Stevie.
And I'm on the lip of the stage. And so I said to them, I don't want you to tell me what you think Americans say. For you, of all of these, what do you want more of that you don't have enough of? What is missing from your life that you wish you had? Who says love? And Bill Clinton's hand goes straight up. I looked at him, and he looked at me. His hand came down so fast. And I said, you know what? I can't fix this. This is... But for those of us who saw Mr. President, our heart goes out to you. We understand, truly. So this is... these are the numbers. How do we... And it's easy to communicate peace of mind with the exception of it's going to be different if you're male or female. It's going to be different if you're a parent. The number one priority for moms, whether they work inside or outside the house, the number one priority for them is not their spouse. It's their kids and the health and happiness of their children. So you communicate it that way. The number one priority for guys, even if they have 8 kids, it's still about their career. There is a difference. And we have to be able to connect more effectively. Now, if you want to be upset, this will make you upset. We asked 18 to 29-year-olds, what is the best form of economics for America? 18 to 29-year-olds, look at that, 58% say socialism and only 33% capitalism. We have lost. It's not that we're losing. We have lost that generation. And I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, none of the above. The fact that 58% say socialism is the better form of economics, this is the damage of academia. Yes. This is the damage of the universities. And you have to change it. So people ask me, what do you have to do basically to change the country? And I told them the number one priority to me is what happens at universities. And if you don't start to affect that, yes, Capitol Hill matters. Yes, politics matters. But if a whole generation is being taught by professors who voted for Bernie Sanders, that's a problem. And it begs, it absolutely begs a solution. By the way, we've become really pessimistic. Almost half of Americans think the country's best days are behind her. I actually think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump did so well. This whole slogan and this whole campaign, let's make America great again, he people are desperate for that feeling of hope, that feeling of optimism that has been so destroyed over the last 8 years. And here's the numbers in terms of people be better off. I'm gonna do this with you all. By show of hands, how many of you would say that overall your quality of life is better than what your parents had when they were your age? Your quality of life is better than your parents, raise your hands. Okay, put them down. How many of you think that your quality of life is worse than your parents? Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you. Watch this. How many of you truly believe that your kids, not that you want them, but believe that your kids are going to be better off than you when they get to be your age? Raise your hands. Look how few hands go up. How many of you think your kids are going to have it tougher than you? Raise your hands. See, this is the most powerful thing that you can address. This is the thing that our members in Congress, and you have a great congressional delegation, and you should be proud of them. And you've always been so kind to me. I'm always appreciative of it. Not all your colleagues are. You've always been great to me. They don't like my jokes, basically. I said to them, doesn't John Kerry look like the tree that threw apples at Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz? And like the senators gave me such a hard time over that. If you put forward, if this becomes your rationale, your basis for running to affect the next generation, they will listen to you. And by the way, it's the reason why so many people are angry. 3 out of 4 Americans are mad as hell now. We've never had this level of anger. And by the way, if Nancy Pelosi is one more facelift, that's what she's going to look like. So I get booed for that one, but I think it's funny, so I tell it anyway. Couple more. It used to be that the American dream, and I'm going to do Q&A. It used to be that the American dream was about freedom. Now it's about money. And I think that's one of the greatest tragedies. Yes. Because in the end, what income do you need if you are not free? I don't care how much I get paid. If this country is declining, then I want no part of it. I'd gladly give up. I have a nice home. I would gladly give it up to make America strong again, to make America good again. And I am so strong. I'm going to give you 3 different phrases to use. And I know that these numbers are small, but for you all, the value that we respect more than any other in this country is the value of hard work. If you work hard, and if you play by the rules, you should have the opportunity to get ahead. That's what the public believes, and they have believed it for generations, because that is what America's offered. No handouts, no bailouts, and no cop-outs. And that is something that we haven't understood enough in this administration. So here are the 3 phrases I want you to remember. More efficient, more effective, and more accountable. Because that's what we want from Washington. More efficient, so they learn to do more with less. More effective, so they stop doing things that they cannot do well. And more accountable for those people who abuse your hard-earned income on their pet projects. They need to be held responsible, and if they do it wrong, they need to be punished. That's what accountability means. Number 2, it's not about the middle class. It's about hardworking taxpayers. 70% of Americans now think of themselves as middle class. 92% think of themselves as hardworking taxpayers. I want to talk to them based on how they want to be heard. And they feel that so much of their money in Washington, D.C. is being wasted. Yes. Hardworking taxpayers, we respect them, we will protect them, and we will fight for them. And number 3, and then I'm going to go to Q&A, is common sense. Not conservatism. I may be a conservative, but with the American people by 2 to 1, they just want common sense brought back to Washington, brought back to the state capitals, brought back to education, brought back to everything in life. You instill a sense of common sense, and you're connecting to people in how they live in their day-to-day lives. So I'll answer questions about CBS, which I love doing, Fox, which I love doing, the election, which I love doing. I'll do 4 questions.
What do you want to know? You go.
What about the media? That's where we have a problem. We see that thing already. The flavor in the last.
So the question is, what about the media? The answer is that you tell them the truth. If you speak the truth to them, I miss the old day, and I'm different than a lot of my colleagues. I actually did not hate the New York Times, because at least they had to be accurate. They were biased, but they were accurate. The websites today are inaccurate. They make it up. I watched this in the Republican primaries. The stuff that they wrote had no grounding in truth, because there is no accountability. I can handle bias. No one knows how to communicate through bias. I can't communicate through lies. And so, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But you know what? It's there. So we have to deal with it. Which is why talk radio matters. It's why Fox News matters. And it's why holding the networks accountable for what they say and how they say it, it matters. But it also requires us to communicate effectively. Number two. Yes. Was I in the arena last time? Yes, I was. Did I think it was a negative message? I love that question. I worked for Rudy Giuliani for 20 years. And a couple times, no, I'm not going to do that. When he said, we're coming after you, to ISIS and to the radical Islamic terrorists, honestly, I've waited 8 years to hear someone say, we're coming after you. That's not negative to me. When I heard Barack Obama say, we have to engage in diplomacy, how do you engage in diplomacy when someone's got a gun at your head? By the way, do you know who kills the most Muslims?
Muslims.
So there's something wrong that needs to be corrected, but you can't correct it until you are willing to say what it is. Until you're willing to call it what it is. And I honestly thought Rudy Giuliani was amazing. I was shocked. The sheriff, Clark. I had one complaint last night, which is that Joni Ernst went on too late. That the networks go from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and I wanted her on national television so the public could see her. That was not good planning. At 11 o'clock, I want it over. Unless the networks are going to stay with you. Donald Trump can go to 11:30. Donald Trump can speak for 8 hours. They'll cover him. But they're not going to cover the earlier nights. So they missed a great opportunity. They should have been more organized. But other than that, I did think last night, and one more thing, the Benghazi guys, I've met them before, and I couldn't talk to them. I was so emotional. We have so many, we are so lucky for our men and women in uniform. We were so blessed that they were so good. They went long, but I never saw anyone look away. I never saw people on their phones. I've never seen for the entire night more delegates, more enthralled by the proceedings. Normally all are talking and just walking around if you've been to multiple conventions. Not last night. I was impressed. And I know the speeches that are coming up tonight, and as there are going to be some good ones tonight too. You're going to like it. Two more. Okay, because you're right here, and then because you're young, you're going to get the last question. You look young. He's looking around. The youngest one in the room, perhaps. How old are you?
21.
You're 21? So this will be your first presidential vote. So of course I'm going to you. But you're going to have to wait 1 second. You're going to have the final question. And by the way, seriously, 21-year-olds, take a tie off. Go ahead.
This is actually doing it.
If I was running the Trump campaign, what would be the two or three succinct items I would have? I could never do it because he's very difficult to manage. I didn't mean it as a joke, but even I'm thinking, wow, you know, he is. He's difficult to manage because he is the opposite of Hillary Clinton. She is so scripted. He is out there. She is controlled. He is loose. She won't talk to the media. He talks to the media too often. there needs to be a discipline. So the first thing that I would do is I would take his phone away from him. Because if you're tweeting after midnight, nothing good will come of it. The second thing that I would do is that I would have him talk about the people that he wishes to represent. He is their voice. The reason why he's done so well is that he is articulating a level of frustration and anxiety that has not been in this country, and he does it well. But I would love to hear from them. I would be bringing them up on stage, inviting them to have the chance to talk to him and having him respond. And the third thing that I would do is, he is so different, and she will never leave a teleprompter, is that I would consider having him come up on stage on Thursday night and have the podium fall back into the ground, covers up, have him then walk over and say, I don't need to use somebody else's words. These are my own, from my heart, from my soul, why I'm running, and what I would do as president. In 25 years, she's been running for president, and she still needs a teleprompter. I don't. Okay, kid, this is my last shot here, so you need to make it really good. I want this to be incredibly memorable for you, so that when I am really old and sick and stop performing, when I'm old and sick and I need you to pay for my Social Security, you're still writing those checks. Go.
So, I'm a millennial, and my generation is significantly more liberal on social issues, especially gay rights. Do you think the Republican Party is out of step, and do you think it's possible, or real possible?
That's a great question. Good for you. So he says, I'm a millennial, I'm 21. Is the Republican Party out of step on social issues? You know what? Abortion is a personal issue. And if you are pro-life, be pro-life. If you believe in the sanctity of marriage, support the sanctity of marriage. These are our own personal values. And what differentiates Republicans from Democrats is that we're not going to preach to you. We're not going to tell you you're wrong. You can't find, in the Republican Party, in this room, there's pro-life and pro-choice. And we disagree fundamentally, but we're still in the same room. They won't tolerate anyone who is pro-life in that party. No senators, no congressmen, no one. They won't tolerate anyone who believes in the Second Amendment. They won't tolerate anyone who disagrees with them. The most powerful thing you can say to a 21-year-old is, I believe in your right to disagree. Because that is what freedom and liberty is all about. So listen, I'm going to let you go. I actually have to go to another speech. I am truly a Carolina Panther fan. Do any of you ever go to games? Okay, particularly this side of the room there. Look for me, because I'll be at a couple games this year. I was really rooting. I know that Colorado is an important state, but I don't like the Cowboy Crunch. I can't do that. I work for the NFL, so I cannot say what I was about to say. Will you do me that favor? Will you get in your car? Even those of you who live in the southern part of the state, you get in your car and commit to several weekends in October. No, North Carolina's not as nice as you, it's not as pretty as you. The people there, you're going to have to kind of help them through that process. But they need you, you need them, and we all need to be successful in November. Thank you all very much.
I will not be shipping off my shirt, and I like that. Thanks again, Frank. Let's give him a hand. All right, we've got a big day ahead. We have a tailgate with Southern States at First Reliance Stadium at 11. The buses will leave at beginning at 10:40 in rotation. These are smaller little buses. It'll take us four or five buses to get over there. They'll be kind of going in rotation from 10:40 to 11:30. The event begins at 11. It goes until 2 o'clock, but buses will be leaving at 1 if you want to get back here before 2 o'clock. This afternoon, our session is at 5:30. You can walk again, as you saw yesterday. It's very easy to get over there pretty fast. Tonight's session will be great, obviously. What am I missing? Anything else? Yeah, tonight after the session at the House of Blues, please join us for my reception. I will not be playing any instruments. Someone said that earlier. I don't know. I could sing, I guess, playing an instrument. Hope says no, can't do that. I do want to recognize Congressman Tom Rice, who's here. Congressman, go ahead. Go have fun today. If you guys have any questions, let us know. Get your credential from Hope if you haven't gotten it already. And look forward to the day with you.